I said I'm going to talk about you tonight. Now you and me claim to be children of God. If you're in this room tonight, I would assume you're here because you know Jesus Christ is your Savior. Some of you know a lot about what that means. Some you know a little about what that means. Some you know a little about doctrine. Some you don't know much about doctrine. All of you know the Lord loves you. All of you know Christ died for you. And all of you know that you've asked Jesus to become your Lord and your Savior. Amen? Are we on the same page? Okay, so I'm going to talk about you tonight. I'm going to talk about who you really are, according to this wonderful book. And if you want to start with me, and this is a Bible study, so that means you've got to use your Bible tonight to get us all on the same page. Let's turn to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. And we're going to talk about you. John chapter 1 and verse 12 to begin with tonight. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name. That's a little different wording than your old King James, the way you memorized it, the way I memorized it, but it's a little bit clearer in the New King James. As many as received him, he gave the right, the privilege, in other words, to become the children of God, because you and I believed in him. And so, if we are talking about you and me tonight, then number one, I am a child of God. Now, I have no idea where this came from. Someone handed it to me about 6-8 weeks ago. I don't remember who. It has absolutely no one's name on it. It has no date on it. It has no company on it. It only has scripture principles on it. And it's called The Truth About Who I Really Am in Christ. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight, you and me. I am a child of God. Connected to Christ as a branch is to the vine. That'll take you over to John 15, verses 1, 5, 15, and 16. I am his friend, chosen and appointed by him to bear fruit. I am the salt of the earth and the light of the world. The scripture references for those things that I've just said are John 1:12, John 15:1, John 15:5, 15, and 16, and Matthew 5:13 and 14, which says that we are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Number two, I am declared righteous. Now, there's a doctrinal word for that. It's called justification. Justification, just as if I had not sinned. When you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, he declared you righteous. You say, wait a minute. He made a big mistake. I make lots of sins. I fail all the time. I'm not a righteous person that I ought to be. That's the good news. The good news is you are righteous by position. Now, you need to become righteous by practice, and we'll cover that in a moment. But I'm declared righteous and at peace with God. I died with Christ and died to the power of sin's rule over me. I am no longer a slave to sin. It doesn't say I don't sin. It doesn't say I don't fail. And we all have to admit that we do daily, don't we? But to righteousness, I'm no longer a slave to sin, but to righteousness. I am free from guilt. I am an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ, adopted and received into God's family. God is for me, not against me. What is true of Christ is now true of me. Now you say, where'd you get all that? Well, let's go. Romans chapter 3, verse 24, if you're taking notes. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Romans chapter 6, verse 1 to 7. Romans chapter 8, verse 1, 14, 15. 2 weeks ago, I believe it was, that I read to you Romans 8, 1. There is therefore now no what? Condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Isn't that wonderful truth? I'm not condemned anymore. And then I took you, maybe it was in Seasoned Saints, I'm not sure. Then I took you all the way over to verse 31. Who is he that can condemn you? Well, God, right? Who's going to condemn you? God. Well, wait a minute. God just saved you, so now he can't condemn you through Jesus Christ. And so Romans 8, 1, 14, 15, 17, 31, 38, 39, 34, excuse me, 38 and 39. And then Romans 11, 16, you say, well, what's that? Well, you know what? That one I can't give you by heart either. So let's look at it. Romans 11, 16. For if the first fruit is holy, who is the first fruit? Jesus Christ. First to raise from the dead. 1 Corinthians 15 says he's the first fruit from among the dead. So if the first fruit is holy, and Jesus Christ is holy, by the way, the lump is holy. What's the lump? Us. And if the root is holy, who's the root? According to Isaiah, Jesus is. So are the branches. Who are the branches? We, us, you, me, and born-again Jews. Now, that's what he's talking about in this passage. Actually, are the Jews. He says God cast them away, but now God's grafted them back in again into the vine, into the family. Wonderful truths. God is for me. Can you get your mind on that truth? Satan will do his best to convince you that's not true. Can it happen to you just like it did to Brother Don? Yes, it can. But see, Don's got a head and a heart full of gospel, full of the Bible. Don knows more about the Bible than I do. And if he can feel suicidal, think what can happen to any of us. And you take a person who's not feeding on the Word of God daily, even though they're a child of God, what strength, what power do they have to resist such a terrible temptation as Jamie Vail succumbed to, or my uncle? I dare say that almost everybody in this room knows somebody close to you that's committed suicide. Scary thing, isn't it? And part of that is because they don't remember that God is for us and no one can be against us. There's a wonderful song about that, based on that very scripture, but I can't remember it, so I won't sing it. Number three. What was number one? I'm a child of God. What's number two? I'm justified. I've been declared righteous through Jesus Christ. I'm at peace with God. What's number three? I'm sanctified. What does that word mean? It means set apart and cleansed for a particular purpose. You have been sanctified because God took you, cleansed you, set you apart and said, hey, you're mine. I got work for you to do. And there's not a person in this room tonight, young, old, or in between, that God doesn't have a purpose for, a job to do. Well, you say, well, I can't do this in the church and I can't do this. Baloney. The only thing is, your problem is you want the one job you can't have instead of about all the other 50 jobs that are waiting for somebody to do. I got a job that needs to be done before Thursday. It's called painting. Somebody likes to paint. It'll be water-based paint. I have about 5 painting projects that need to be done before Friday. If you're interested, come see me. I'm sanctified. That's number 3. Called to be a saint. Don't let anybody tell you you're not a saint. You're a saint if you're a child of God. Called to be a saint. Placed in Christ, who is my wisdom, my righteousness, my sanctification, and my redemption. I have received God's Spirit that I may know the things that are freely given to me from God. 1 Corinthians 1, if you're looking for a reference, you're probably still in Romans, so that'll work out, right? Just over a page or few. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 2. To the church, which is at Corinth. Now, if you've read 1 and 2 Corinthians, you know this church has got more problems than you can shake a stick at. In fact, a pastor friend of mine said he counted 39 sins in the church at Corinth. And yet Paul addresses them right off the bat. To the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all those in every place who call on the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace to you and peace from our God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, you are a saint. You've been sanctified. You've been redeemed. I have received God's Spirit that I may know the things that are freely given to me from God. I have the mind of Christ. My body is the temple of God. That's over in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12, chapter 3, verse 16, chapter 6, verse 19 and 20, and chapter 12, verse 27, all in 1 Corinthians. I have the mind of Christ. My body is the temple of God, and His Spirit dwells in me. I belong to God and not to myself, because I have been bought with a price. I am a member of His body. Guess what, folks? I'm talking to you. Because you are His. Isn't that wonderful? Number 4, I'm established in Christ. Number 1, I'm a child of God. Number 2, I've been declared righteous. Number 3, I've been sanctified. Number 4, I've been established in Christ. What's it mean to establish something? Well, first of all, you're not just building a teepee or a tent or a hut when you establish something. When you establish a business, it takes time, it takes knowledge, it takes material, it takes great effort, it takes a lot of work, it takes a lot of people, and it takes a lot of money. We say they established a business, or that is an establishment, which means that that business has been around for a while. Well, with that context in mind, listen to as I read. I am established in Christ, anointed by God, and always led in triumph. Stop calling yourself a failure. That's Satan talking to you. That's not God. God said you're not a failure. You're established. You're there for the long duration. What is it? Eternity. Can you beat that deal with anything? Of course not. I live not for myself, but for Christ. I am a new creation, reconciled to God, and a minister of reconciliation. And we just looked at that passage a few weeks ago, didn't we? From 2 Corinthians. Now, all of these verses that support what I'm saying are in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 1:21. 2 Corinthians 2:14. 2 Corinthians 5:15. And 17-19. And 21. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8. And 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. And you all know that last one by heart, don't you? And God said to Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in your weakness." And so Paul responds back with what? "Therefore I will glory in my infirmities." How many of you can say that? Get your hands down, most of you, right? But that's our attitude, isn't it? That's the attitude we're to have. I glory in my infirmities. I'll tell you what, I have a hard time with that. I have a few of those things that come along with old age. I don't have an easy time glorying in diabetes. And there's a lot of diabetics in this room, so you know what I'm talking about. And it doesn't come alone. It just doesn't come with pills and shots. It's got a few other things that come along with it. And if you don't have diabetes, praise God, do whatever you can to keep from getting it. It's terrible. It's terrible. I inherited it from my mother and my grandmother. And I have it. And I'm jealous of my brother. He doesn't have any problem. He doesn't have any of the things that I have. So I don't know. When we get to heaven, it will be worth it all. Remember, that song is supposed to be sung at my funeral. It will be worth it all when I see Jesus. Life's trials will all be gone when I see Him. One glimpse of His dear face, all trials will erase. So let us run the race till we see Him. I have all sufficiency in all things. I am equipped for every good work. I have sufficient grace and strength to face any thorn. Now, if you know any of those verses that I quoted, those references from 2 Corinthians, you'll understand that comment about the thorn. Number five, I have liberty in Christ. Liberty. Oh, I can do anything I want. Well, that's not quite what the word means, is it? It means I have been set free from the things I shouldn't do, so that I can do the things I ought to do. That's what the Bible means when it says liberty. It's not freedom to go out and sin wantonly. That's not what it is at all. It's freedom to do the right thing because I'm no longer in bondage to sin. I'm no longer in bondage to the devil, in other words. I have liberty in Christ. I have been crucified with Him. He lives in me. I live for Him. And I am one in Christ and with fellow believers. You say, where'd you find that? Well, great news, Galatians. Let's see, we've covered John, we've been in Matthew, we've been in Romans, we've been in 1 Corinthians, we've been in 2 Corinthians. The next book in the Bible is what? Galatians. Awesome, let's look there, Galatians 2 and verse 4. 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians 2 and verse 4. But this occurred because of false brethren. Well, if they're brethren, they shouldn't be false. And if they're false, they shouldn't be brethren. But apparently, he's talking about those who claim to be believers, but they got some real problems. And one of them was named Peter. And the Apostle Paul had to scold Peter in the book of Galatians. Did you know that? Most of you did, yes. But this occurred because of false brethren secretly brought in, who came in by stealth to spy out the liberty which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. Any idea what Paul was talking about? Well, in Jesus Christ, there's certain freedoms in diet. As opposed to the rules and dietary rules and regulations of the Jews. Now understand, you and I are not Jews. There may be a person in our church that has Jewish background. I think there's one or two. Over here, you are. Okay. But the truth is, and I mentioned it this morning, over in Genesis chapter 9, God gave to Moses the privilege of, Noah, the privilege of eating anything and everything. It wasn't until Moses' time, see, I got the two guys in the right order now, it wasn't until Moses' time that there were dietary restrictions for the descendants of Jacob. Not the descendants of just Abraham, because that descendant line goes this way, whereas Jacob's descendant line goes this way, and we call them the Jews or the Israelites or Israelis. And the dietary laws were placed upon them. Now here in Galatia, the Christians were being visited by these Judaizers who are trying to force Jewish law on these new Christians. They're not even Jews. And that's what Paul is addressing here. Look at verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is I who no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's the key, isn't it? I'm in Christ. Christ is in me. And together we are all in Jesus Christ. What a wonderful truth. 3:28 says it again. Neither is there Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. So one is not better than the other. Number 6, I am a saint. You say, well, wait a minute, you already said that. Well, I said I was sanctified, called to be a saint, but now I want to talk a little bit about being a saint. Blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, where would I go to look for that? Well, what's the next book in your Bible? Ephesians. Now, I don't know who the person is that put this together. I'm just using somebody else's wonderful material. But I want you to notice, we started in the Gospels, we went to Romans, then 1 Corinthians, then 2 Corinthians, then Galatians, and now we're in Ephesians. And you've heard me say this before concerning Ephesians chapter 1. Over in verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies, or in heavenly places in Christ. If I can get my Bible free from down here. There we go. I want to do a little exercise with you. I know what time it is. I won't finish this tonight. I've given that up already. But here's what I worked out. And I've written it in my old Bible, but I never moved it over into my newer Bible. I've read this many times as a young man and as a young pastor and as a Christian. Blessed with all spiritual blessings in every places. Well, what are the spiritual blessings? Well, guess what? They're all in chapter 1. And so here they are. In verse 4, the blessing of election. We're not going to argue about election tonight, what it means, but it's there. It says it. I'm blessed with election. Verse 5, I'm blessed with adoption. It has to do with the fact I've been placed into the family of God. I was a stranger. I was a sinner. But now I am blessed with adoption. Verse 6, I'm blessed with what? Acceptance. Verse 7, I've been blessed with, are you catching on here? Redemption. Right? Verse 7, in him I have what? Redemption. Okay, verse 8 and 9, I have been blessed with wisdom and knowledge. Don't you love it? In verses 10 and 11, I have been blessed with an inheritance. In the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, in whom we have obtained an inheritance. What is it? Boy, you can do a lot of studying to figure out what your inheritance is. Amen. Verses 12 to 14, I have been blessed with the Holy Spirit. And those three verses talk about what the Holy Spirit does. He seals us. He gives us a down payment, which guarantees that we're going to get the whole deal when we're done. So we have been blessed with the Spirit. In verses 15 and 16, I have been blessed with intercession. The God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you spirit of wisdom and knowledge and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Verse 16, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. We have the blessing of intercession, praying for one another. And then as we know from Romans chapter 8, in one place it says that the Holy Spirit makes intercession, and in the other place it says Jesus Christ is making intercession for us. Man, you can't lose. If God's praying for you, and your friends are praying for you, and your church is praying for you, how is it that you are so down in the dumps and discouraged? Get on board, my little children. Get on board. God has got great and wonderful things for you and for me. I am a fellow citizen with the saints. That's in chapter 2. Get into chapter 2. We are alive in God. In chapter 2, we are fellow citizens. We are partakers of God's promise in Christ. We have access to God with boldness and confidence. I am renewed and created in righteousness and true holiness. Let me finish with chapter 3, verse 6. That the Gentiles, that's us. Remember I said I'm preaching to you tonight about you. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of His promise in Christ through the gospel. I learned that truth over in chapter 1. It was reemphasized again greatly in chapter 2. And now it's mentioned again in chapter 3. And also in chapter 3, look at verse 12. In whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in Him. Therefore, I ask that you do not lose heart. What a great message. And 4:24 as I close. That you put on the new man, which was created according to God in righteousness and true holiness. Now, isn't that wonderful that someone put all of that together? Just took scripture lines, basically, and stuck them together in paragraphs. What a wonderful, wonderful truth. Let's bow our hearts in prayer. And I want you to pray a prayer of thanksgiving. I want you to say back to God some of the things that I've said to you tonight. I want you to turn those things into prayers of thanksgiving for who you are in Christ and what you have in Christ. And some of you, you also need to thank God for healing. This week, Judy was in the hospital a good bit of the week. Weak as a puppy. And here she is tonight. Praise God. Amen. God answers prayer. Once again, let's sing, "Thank You, Lord." Thank You, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank You, Lord, for making me whole. giving to me thy great salvation so rich and free. And everybody said, amen. Good night. God bless you. Have a wonderful week living out the principles of what we saw tonight about what you are and who you are and what you have in Christ.